I know it. I'll try to drag it out a little bit, but now this morning I want to show you number one, show you something about what December 25th is, but then show you from the Bible the when Jesus Christ was actually born. And it's not necessarily about how you do Christmas or anything like that. But let's pray, and it's going to take a few scriptures to cross-reference to show you this. So we'll be turning our Bibles a little bit, but let's pray, and then we'll get started here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Lord, I pray that this morning will be helpful. I know it's kind of just informative, but I pray it'd be helpful. Give us some history. Give us some things about the way you handled holidays in Israel and all that. Pray for the teachers in the back that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to them, to the kids, just pray you'd help us this morning, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So here's the very short, let me give you a place to turn first. 1 Chronicles chapter 24, and give you some time to get there, and then I'll give you a real simple explanation of December 25th, why it became important. But then show you when Jesus Christ was born according to the Bible. Like I said, it'll be informative. Some of you may have heard he was born at a different time, but maybe don't know how you figure that out in the Bible. But 1 Chronicles chapter 24. But let me first, before we read anything, just deal with simply December 25th. What's the big deal about that day? You might have heard it's a day of pagan whatever and worshiping sun god and all that kind of stuff and do what? Winter solstice, yeah. And so that's exactly this is the simple the basic explanation for this. December 25th falls around the day that you have, imagine, or you can see here, here's the horizon. December 25th, this, and here's the course of the sun. Let me draw it this way. So, sun, and this is a very basic deal here. December 25th, around that time, just happens to do with how high the sun is in the sky. It's like this. Comes up like this, down like that. December 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th is basically the lowest point in the sky that the sun is. And so this is where you might get like folks, you know, worshiping sun and all that kind of stuff. The Lord set this in motion, and this is just the way it is. And so you have from 21st, 22nd, 23rd, whatever, sun hit its point, and then it starts to go a little bit higher. And it keeps doing that up until about, this is June something, somewhere in there. And that's just where, at its highest point. So there's actual astronomical things going on, and this is why December 25th became important. That's all it is. It's just where the sun is the lowest in the sky, and basically the sun's relationship to the earth. Now, you know, this is part of this, you could say, if the religious part of this If you remember in the Old Testament, the Lord would consistently get on Israel for worshiping the host of heaven or assigning some sort of deity or some sort of godlike characteristics to astronomical signs and things like that. And that was just like worshiping the host of heaven and things like that. But that's why that day was important. It's just the lowest, the day that the lowest, the sun is the lowest in the sky. That's all it is. So that being said, that's why that's important. It really doesn't have anything to do with the birth of Jesus Christ, although all that stuff gets piled in there and, you know, all that kind of thing. And so just to show you why that day had any kind of significance, that's why it had significance. All right, so that being said, to get that part of it done, when was Jesus Christ actually born? And so some of you have probably heard it's not December 25th, but you may not know why in the Bible it's not, or does the Bible even specify when Jesus Christ was born? Because I've heard some people say, well, we know it's not December 25th, but we don't actually know when it is. Well, you can know when it is. You can know at least around the time it is. And it starts in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1. Let me put on my old man glasses here. Wow. I can see the future with these things. I got some that were 2.5s, and they were just, it was good if I'm reading like this. When I look up, whoa, man, just too much. Yeah, so these are 1.5s on the recommendation of Mike, and he was exactly right, these work. So here we go. All right. Yeah, 1 Chronicles 24. So what you're going to read about here is each priest, David is going to assign each priest or families duties within the tabernacle. And verse 1, it says, now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. Sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. And David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices and their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar. And thus were they divided among the sons of Eleazar. There were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their father. So you find some more men in one family that are servants than another, and he's going to put them to work in the tabernacle. Verse 5. Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary. So this is going to be their job, governing the sanctuary. And governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eleazar and of the sons of Ithamar. And Shemaiah the son of Nethaneel, the scribe, one of the Levites, wrote them before the king and the princes, and Zadok the priest, and Ahimelech the son of Abiathar, and before the chief of the fathers of the priests and Levites, one principal household being taken for Eleazar and one taken for Ithamar. Now, the first lot came forth to Jehoiarib, the second to Jediah, third to Harim, the fourth to Sorum, and so on and so forth. Skip down to verse, let's see, I think it's verse 10. The seventh to Hakaz, and the eighth to Abijah, the ninth to Jeshua. All right, these lots, what he's doing, every person is going to have a two-week time frame where they're supposed to take care of the tabernacle. So each of these guys is being divided out into, given, here's your 2 weeks, here's your 2 weeks, here's your 2 weeks, here's your 2 weeks. So the first 2 weeks of the year goes to this guy, second 2 weeks of the year goes to this guy, third 2 weeks of the year goes to this guy. So that's what you're reading. All these lots are being distributed according to how they fall. And so these are 2 week time frames where they're supposed to take care of the tabernacle and oversee and administrate all that stuff. Now, that being said, that's important, and you'll see why that's important. The Jewish calendar starts roughly like March, would be our March. And so the person that's important in this is verse 10, Abijah. He's got the eighth series of 2 weeks. So in the eighth series of 2 weeks, you've basically got, this is about 16 weeks into the year, which is roughly 4 months into the year, which would put, if the year starts in March, you got March to April, April to May, May to June, June to July. All right? That would be about 16 weeks into the year. That's Abijah. So roughly the first part of July is where you're at now with Abijah. Keep that in mind because that's important to note. Look over in Luke chapter 1 now. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. So the course of Abijah was the eighth 2 weeks, which would put you at about the 1st of July. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. That's the course is Abijah. That's the same one. Of the course of Abijah, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, that would be about July, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So that was his job. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Anybody know who this is going to be? This is John the Baptist. Yeah, this is John the Baptist. Verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many, verse 16, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. All right, so at the end of Zechariah, who was John's father, at the end of his ministering in the temple, which is about July, first week of July or so, he comes home. After this, you're going to see he goes home and Elizabeth gets pregnant. All right, that's going to be about, again, first part of July there. He goes home, Elizabeth's going to get pregnant. And then, skip down to verse 24. It says, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So this is going to be Gabriel telling her, Mary, you're going to have a baby. All right. Anybody tell me what's the time frame here? Because you're given some time frame here in verse 26. How far along is Elizabeth in her pregnancy? 6 months. So July to August. August, September. September, October. October, November. November, December. So Jesus Christ is probably conceived in December. All right? So that's 6 months after Elizabeth is conceived. 6 months after that, so that would put Mary conceiving Jesus Christ around the time of December, late December, something like that. Maybe even Christmas time, I don't know. Maybe the conception happens at Christmas time, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, if anything, that would be the time. So, 9 months then from late December would put you, let's see, 9 months would go, what is it, Tony? September. 9 months would put you in September, which is the seventh for the Jews. That would be, it's our ninth month, but for the Jews, it's the seventh month. And even Sept, S-E-P-T, is seven. Like October is our 10th month, but O-C-T is not 10, it's 8. Yeah, so we're still kind of hanging on to some of that stuff. So in September, Jesus Christ is probably born in September, and this is why. And so here's now that you got some of the history here, September, like we said, is the seventh month for Israel. But before I get to that point, you got the dating now. You got the date now. I'm going to show you something interesting about Mary that we could probably talk about a little bit more at some point. But notice, I think sometimes people get the idea that the Lord just imposed his will on Mary. And in some ways, you know, he did choose Mary and Joseph. But I want you to notice her part in this. You're in Luke chapter 1, look at verse 38. After Gabriel describes some things to her, Mary's has faith. I mean, she believes. She trusts God for this. Verse 38 says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." All right, so Mary accepts what God said to her, what the angel said to her. I'll just say it this way. The Bible is also full of God making promises or offering folks gifts and blessings that they reject and never partake of because they reject the blessings. They don't act in faith. They don't trust God for things. So notice verse 45 as well. Look at verse 45. And we could probably say more about this stuff, but I just want you to notice it. When Elizabeth sees Mary, this is her commentary on it. Blessed is she that did what? Believed. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So Mary's faith works with God's will, and this is what happens. And I think that's sometimes we just kind of leave that's part of it off, where people respond in faith and there's a blessing associated with responding in faith. And, you know, it's like I said, we could talk a lot more about Mary's faith, but the Lord chose her because I think she had demonstrated faithfulness, obviously. And here's her acting in faith and trusting God and things like that. So that's important. That's good to know. But a little side note there. But back to, all right, back to the dating thing. Back to the dating thing. Is there anything significant that goes on, that y'all know of, that goes on in Israel's history in the seventh month? There is. That's what's going on. Look over in Leviticus. Let me show you something that's going on. If you want to figure out when Jesus Christ was born, this is probably about the time. Leviticus chapter 23. And verse 23. All right, so you would be in our month of September, Israel's seventh month. And that would be when Jesus Christ is going to be born. And here's the significance of this timing. Leviticus 23:23. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. I still hear y'all turning. Oh, wait. Leviticus 23:23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also in the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. So the tenth day of the seventh month in Israel is a day of atonement. And shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. You shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month, at even, from even unto even, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, here's some more about it, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days unto the Lord, on the first day shall be a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, and so on and so forth. So about the time Jesus Christ would be born, you have a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. And not only that, you have on the tenth day of that month, you have the Day of Atonement. So when Jesus Christ is born, it's going to be around the Day of Atonement for Israel and around the time of this Feast of Tabernacles. And, you know, the idea that they would dwell in temporary housing for a time, just like they did coming out of Egypt, they would dwell in temporary housing, and then, you know, that would be part of the Sabbath and the celebration of this thing, the Feast of Tabernacles. And if there's any typology in that, I know there's the history of it is good. I mean, the Day of Atonement. Here is Jesus Christ being born, who is the atonement for sins for all of mankind, sacrifice for sins for all of mankind. But then the temporary housing is kind of interesting in that here is God, who is manifest in the flesh, who takes on a body and dwells with man in a tabernacle that's not made with hands. It's just a body that he has formed. And so here's God in Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh in a body. And it correlates with this Feast of Tabernacles and Day of Atonement. And so according to the Bible, if Jesus Christ, the timing of his birth is probably around September, and more specifically, probably around the Day of Atonement or Feast of Tabernacles time. So that's actually when he's born, about September on our calendar, seventh month for the Jews. And so there you go. That is the timing and how you figure that thing out from the Bible. So that is, does any of you guys have questions on that? Because we got a lot of time and we can wrap it up. Probably. It's the Day of Atonement is the 10th day of that month. And then you've got 7 days of the feast and dwelling in temporary housing and things like that. So Jesus Christ is probably born Feast of Tabernacles time, Day of Atonement, which would be really, really neat if he's born on the Day of Atonement. Yeah, he's a baby, or a little boy. Yeah. Well, and that deal, when the wise men come visit him, one of the things it says is when Herod decides to kill all the babies that are 2 years old and under, he does that according to the timing that they saw the star. So he figures, if I can kill all the kids, all the boys 2 years old and under, then I'll take care of this king. And so, I read that, and this is not on the subject and typically the way this goes, I guess. But when I read about the wise women, one of the thoughts I had was, number one, if they're looking for the king of the Jews, why would they go to Herod? Wouldn't that be a threat to him? But then I also thought, you think, well, if you're looking for a king and you go to a palace and you try to figure out, okay, obviously a king's been born, let's go see him. Yeah. They probably figured it was Herod's son, and so we'll go find the king and we'll go to the palace and figure out where the king of the Jews is born. And what a shock it was to find that Herod didn't have any part of this, and the king is in a stable. Temporary housing. So there it is. Temporary housing. Isn't that something, you know? And when he's born, if he's born, and he is born in September, Feast of Tabernacles, and he's just in a stable in a temporary housing, just it all works together. Kind of neat. Anything else? Anything? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So that's the Feast of Tabernacles, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Day of Atonement, all that stuff. It all goes together. And the way you do that, like I said, the way you do that, because the timing is given on John the Baptist's dad and what time he's ministering in the temple, and then you can cross-reference this to First Chronicles, then you can figure out, okay, well, then he's obviously born in September. Yeah, he's probably conceived late December. So December 25th is not his birthday, it's conception day. So there you go. Make something out of it. Yeah. 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 Anything else? Told you it'd be short today. Yeah. Yep. And he's got to be born. I don't want to take it too far that his birth is no big deal, because it is a big deal that he had to be born. And the angels even said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," which is so neat. When here's the angels announcing this to mankind and humanity, the shepherds that are out there in the field, and they say, peace and on earth goodwill toward man. It's like God extending his arm saying, this is my offering of peace to you. This is my act of goodwill. I am willing to reconcile you back to me if you will have me. And so here is God manifest in the flesh, and that is literally goodwill toward men. I mean, that's something else. So anything else you guys got? the shepherds. Yeah. It wasn't to Herod. Herod wasn't looking for any other king. Herod didn't know anything about it. Herod didn't know anything about it. That's why when the wise men show up, Herod immediately grabs all the Jewish scribes, the religious leaders, because he wants to figure out what is going on here. And he wants to play his cards right so he doesn't show his hand that he wants to get rid of the king. Yeah, he says he wants to go worship, but he's not interested in that.